Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Week 16 is here. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as I am every Friday by Derek Brown, D-Bro. We are here in week 16, semifinals of the fantasy playoffs for most leagues. How many teams made it for you this far? How would you rate the success of your season? Where are we at right now going into week 16?
It's been a good year overall. I've got I pushed away a lot of my regular season action and redraft. I still have some leagues and stuff. Like, there's the home league that I dominate every single year. So that one's cooking. It's percolating for first place, you know, loving the squad. But really, a lot of it, I got a lot of best ball action. So I'm sweating some teams. I got some money on the way. So we'll see if the new year brings the quiche, Ryan.
Fingers crossed for everyone. Our guest today doesn't even really feel like we should call him a guest because he's on so many shows all year long. It's Chris Welsh at Is It The Welsh on Twitter. By the way, D-Bro is at D-Bro _FFB. Welsh, I'll ask you the same question. How did your 2022 fantasy season treat you?
It's actually kind of similar to D-Bro's as well, where, normal leagues, I had a couple heartbreaks last week, if I'm being honest. I expand out the leagues that I play. I play a lot of different formats, and I think it really helps me just in being able to talk about it. So, I mean, I've got a couple IDP leagues. I've got super flexes all across the board. At the end of the day, Dynasty is always a great thing for me, whatever sport it is. One of my big ones, I'm playing hard in this week, and I got multiple best balls. I went a little bit harder into best balls in the draft season this time, and I'm playing it up into the final weeks here. So I think a lot of my cash is actually going to come from best balls this year. I'll have a little bit of heartbreak and hopefully a little bit more cash after fantasy football's all done.
Welsh, I'm looking forward to the show. We went all year without being on camera together. Now twice in the same month. How lucky are we? We get to finish strong doing some shows together. It's going to be a fun time. I gave you their Twitter handles. I'm at Ryan Wormley on Twitter. Also, we can be found everywhere online at Fantasy Pros. Before we jump into the slate, I want to actually bring up with you guys, this is such a big week for weather. There is brutally, historically cold weather across the country, major storms across the country. D-Bro, I know we've talked about on shows before how being a fantasy analyst is almost like being a meteorologist, where people always make the comparison, well, they get everything wrong and it doesn't matter. As you said, and I would agree with, I think fantasy analysts are a little more accurate than meteorologists more often than not. But just going into this weekend with weather impacting so many games across the country, what do you most pay attention to? Is it rain? Is it bitter historic cold? Is it snow? What are you paying attention to when it comes to the weather forecast in week 16?
I mean, really, this comes down to one or two things. It's life-altering amounts of snow, where we're talking about just insane amounts to where it's going to impact play, things like that, or the wind. Past that, unless we're talking about sustained winds over 20 miles an hour, gusts that are extremely high, I don't care if it's cold. The cold does not stop a lot of these teams, because it's 15 degrees outside. The teams don't say, forget passing this week. Ball's too cold to catch. I don't worry about that part of it. But I think you're looking at other parts of the elements and things like that. We should at least discuss some of those things. But in the totality of it, I think overall people freak out about the weather so, so much. Like, well, even when I put out the primer, like, people are like, "Hey, you didn't talk about the 50-mile-an-hour winds." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, because if they're short passing, is it going to impact it that much if we're talking about them throwing deep? So I'm much more of a weather fader than I am more inclined to freak out about it.
Welsh, do you worry about the cold? I mean, you're an Arizona guy, you know, guys who like grow up in the warm weather. Like, Lamar's not playing this week, but a guy like him who's from Florida, he played his college ball at Louisville, like in the cold weather, first time. Tua, that was talked a lot about last week. Hawaii guy, played at Alabama, Miami, had to go up to Buffalo. Like, does that concern you at all?
I got to be honest with you, and I'm saying this a couple times, and I apologize in a couple different places, but I went up north here locally just yesterday because there's snow up north out here in Arizona. And it was about 20 something degrees out here. Our pipes froze in this camper we had. It's the coldest I've ever been in. I've never had been in weather under 30 degrees, which is going to be wild to some of you because I'm a West Coast person, California, wow, and Arizona my entire life. It was the coldest ever. And my son happened to bring a football with us and we played, and two catches in, I was like, oh my God, my hands hurt. So yes, cold does have an effect if anybody is like me and never been in the cold whatsoever. But at the end of the day, like, is it game altering for it to be really cold? No. I calculated, looking at the current weather report, it looks like there's 10 games projected to locations to have an under 20 degree weather. Seven of those are non-dome. So you have seven that are outside. But you've got, I think it's five or six games that have wind projected at 15 miles per hour or more. And that is my concern. Obviously, the snow is the snow. Like, snow coming in is going to change everything. So we don't even need to discuss that. But if it's cold versus wind, it's 100% the wind. And that is what I am focused on. And there are two games that have projected over 20 mile per hour winds that are non-domes that I am very, very concerned about. So I'm not quite a fader like Debro is. I think we have to pay attention to it. But sometimes we do get bogged down just a tiny bit in to fading everybody and needing to make big. Mm-hmm. I'm like, to be honest with you, I'm personally more worried about a DeAndre Hopkins with Trace McSorley at quarterback than I am, you know, Christian Kirk maybe. And I know I'm saying this on a Thursday night game that already happened, but these guys that are going to be in, you know, windy, colder weather, I'm worried about more of the quarterback than I am that, unless it's 20 plus mile an hour winds.
All right. Well, I'm sure our producer John is going to yell at me for taking too long on the weather. So let's jump into the first game here.
Matchup previews.
As a reminder for everybody listening, and I'm sure you've heard this throughout the week, but just again, PSA, most of these games are on Saturday this week, so you don't have until Sunday morning to set your lineups. There are only three games on Sunday, and of course, the Monday night game. The rest of the remaining week 16 slate is on Saturday. So our first Saturday early afternoon slate game is Falcons at Ravens. Welsh, I'll start with you. What's your key matchup here?
Well, my key matchup is a little bit different than sometimes what you guys normally do. I'm not going to do this a lot, but this is not going to be a Falcons player versus the defense. It's going to be a Falcons player versus a Falcons player. This is Desmond Ridder versus Drake London. And this is really about Drake London here because no one's going in concerned with what they're going to do with Desmond Ridder unless you're in a desperation play of Superflex. But it's about Drake London and what Ridder does. Ridder in at quarterback through 26 passes this past week, 11 of which went to Drake London. Awesome. A crazy thought process, but when you really think about it, you'll understand it. Marcus Mariota had only thrown 26 passes or more three times, or more than 26 passes, three times the entire season. That's it. For context, if you want to know, Jared Goff never this season has thrown less than 26 passes. I mean, that's what's been going on. So it's a huge target share on a quarterback that's throwing the ball. They're finally throwing the ball a little bit more. But regardless of the target share, he was 41st in half PPR last week in as far as catches go. So this week, they've got Baltimore, who gives up the ninth most fantasy points to the top three wide receivers on a team. And London is all of them. So what is going to break? I think it's a key matchup of what London can do versus a really poor secondary on a team that's trying to adjust. There are 15 plus mile an hour winds projected here. And Drake London is going to be that fringy guy that we're all going to be looking at. Do we get in the lineup because he's going to get targets? And it's a great matchup. But Desmond Ridder versus him is kind of my key play here.
What's the ceiling on London if these targets continue to go up? Is it like a true league winner here in the next 2 weeks?
I don't think it's a league winner, but I do think it's a playoff team stabilizer where you would mostly, no one's going to put him in at a wide receiver two, but when you can get a wide receiver three in or even a flex, like there's plenty of people in deeper leagues that you might be faced with a situation where you've got a flex option of a fringy running back and then a Drake London. You put Drake London in, he gets 12 targets in a game and he actually catches and doesn't fumble, catches six or seven of them. His yak and his just really, you know, yards per catch have not really been that great. So they've got to spread the ball a little bit more, which I'm hopeful for. If that happens, it's not a league winner, but you might get wide receiver two production out of a fringy flex spot or wide receiver three. And it just, this is a pure target share play for Drake London, which we haven't had all year. We had such high hopes in the preseason. It's fallen off because the team didn't pass. They've now changed that. And you are literally put in a situation of one of the best secondaries for them to throw against. There's just a little bit of wind and it's a rookie quarterback. So how does that play?
Debro, what are you looking at in this game?
Yeah, over on the Ravens side, it's all J.K. Dobbins. It's all of this run game. And a lot of this comes down to Tyler Huntley has been atrocious. He has been terrible. Like the small little inklings of hope we've had in previous years of Tyler Huntley starts, it is not happening this year. So I think you're going to see a Baltimore Ravens offense that is going to run. And it's going to be a lot of J.K. Dobbins and a lot of Gus Edwards. And I think J.K. Dobbins, I mean, look, he's been fantastic since he's come back. Back-to-back 100-yard games, he's averaging 14 carries, 122 yards on the ground. You're looking at an Atlanta rush defense that since week 10, 30th in rush success rate, 31st in rushing yards per game. So Dobbins could put up another 120 and, heck, Gus Edwards could get 15 carries in this game, and both of these guys could be somewhere around the range of RB2.
Just quickly before we move on from this game, I think going into the Browns matchup last week, a lot of us, I mean, I'm a Ravens fan, obviously, as we talk about a lot on the show, going into that game, we hoped and expected them to run the ball a ton against a bad rush defense with a backup quarterback in there in Huntley, and they threw a lot more than a lot of us were kind of hoping. And of course, the Ravens only scored 3 points and lost the game. So are you at all concerned that the Ravens want to push the issue through the air more than they really should be? Or will they continue to lean on Dobbins, who, like you said, looks awesome? I mean, he's averaging, I think it's 8.7 yards per carry in the last 2 weeks.
I don't think they're going to have to lean on Dobbins that hard, considering you're talking about his efficiency, Ryan. I mean, give him 18 to 20 carries and the guy is going to put up a buck 50. Like, that's what's going to happen. So, and you're also talking about neither one of these running backs are shouldering 50 to 60% snap loads. So even if they, like, we see 15 to 20 carries for each one of these guys, it's not that much. And I think the Ravens have to know where their bread is buttered this week. Like, we always talk about, okay, get Baltimore pass more. You know, what is this going to look like if they ever decide to pass more? I think that we've seen enough out of Tyler Huntley this year and his struggles to know that if they really want to win this game, they're going to have to run the ball and they need to run the ball.
Before we get to the rest of the slate, I want to take a very quick moment to tell everyone about the Betting Pros Podcast. If you're into sports betting, then I urge you to check out our Betting Pros Podcast. Every week, Matthew Friedman, Thor Nystrom, Pat Fitzmaurice, Scott Bogman, Joe Pisapia, plenty of others, sometimes Welsh too, bring you the analysis on players, teams, coaching habits, trends that you need to make the most informed bets. With great insight, a touch of humor, and strong, diverse guests, we guide you through each week in the NFL and shed light on what the best bets are and how you can take advantage of the market's movement. You can check out our Betting Pros Podcast at bettingpros.com/podcast or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Welsh, I'll start with you on the next game too. Lions at Panthers.
So I'm looking at both of the running backs. I know that's kind of like a duh situation for Detroit. Like, hey, these guys are one of the more important pieces, but a lot of that is coming from how they've been scoring since week 12. DeAndre Swift has been the 22nd scoring running back in half PPR, where Jamal Williams has been the 35th scorer. This past week, we got Swift back for the most part of what you were hoping for, but it leaves a little bit to be desired, which is ultimately what I'm getting at. But you also saw this uptick in snap count from Justin Jackson. So I say it's Swift and Jamal Williams, but Justin Jackson last week had a 32% snap share. DeAndre Swift was number one at 40. Jamal Williams had less than Jackson, but there was a special teams issue going on with Justin Jackson as well. So ultimately, it's about what this team is going to want to do on the ground, and how Carolina is going to give up as far as receiving yards to running back, which is a little bit less in the league. And when they get into the red zone, we know this is going to go to Jamal Williams. I think Detroit is going to be able to pass on this team. And it's how much is this team going to get it on the ground, and how much are you really going to get out of DeAndre Swift? So at the end of the day, you're probably not in a situation where you're going to consider not playing these players, but let's not pretend that there aren't that there and there isn't that opportunity for people out there in whatever type of pickups they have gone through with during the year. I mean, DeAndre Swift is not a slam dunk. Jamal Williams, with all the touchdowns, is not a slam dunk. And I think this is a really, really key matchup, because I think what you look at is you look at Carolina and just how bad they are in general, but you've got to compare it against how bad they're going to be against the run. And they give up less than 100 yards on the ground. They give up less than 27 yards receiving to running backs. And there's only so much to go. You have a very small window for Swift and Jamal Williams if you're starting them, that you're going to have to give some consideration maybe in some other spots. Deeper, I don't know if you feel any different about Swift or Jamal Williams and any concern this week. Again, it's Carolina, but the snap share is not what you want, especially out of DeAndre Swift. Like, I think you know what you have in Jamal Williams. Swift is kind of a wild card that there might be some options that you want to toy with.
So I'll push back on Swift just a little bit, Welsh, only because of DeAndre Swift is not on the injury report. Sound the whistles, yeah. You know, blare the horns. He's not on the injury report this week. And the last time we saw that, the dude was a top five running back. We saw his snaps, his usage, his targets all go up. So I'll push back a little bit that I'm in on DeAndre Swift this week, that I think that he takes over more of this backfield, considering they ramped up his work. He was dinged up, then he was back on the injury report, then he went back down, then we saw more of the Justin Jackson show. I think we could get like 50 to 55% DeAndre Swift this week. If that happens, top 15 running back. We'll see, man.
I'd love to see it. 21 degree weather going to be out there. 11 mile an hour winds. Obviously, go on and keep it low. We'll see where they go. The snap percentage hasn't been great. DeAndre Swift, only two times this entire year, has had 18 touches in a game, which is a wild thing to think about. So I know what you're saying. DeAndre Swift is one of those guys that, you know, play with the guys that got you there, but Swift hasn't really got you there. So if there's options, you might need to consider it. So I think it's a key matchup to watch. And it's not just Swift versus Jamal Williams anymore, because Justin Jackson is taking away some of this. And that's what makes it a little bit gross.
Oh, I definitely hear the concern. And I think on the other side of the ball with Carolina, if they're going to try to keep up with these running backs, it's going to have to be through DJ Moore. We know how good that the Detroit Lions run defense. I talked about this last week. I've talked about it out on Twitter, and people say it's not a big enough sample size. And I'm like, you go all the way back to freaking week 6, week 8, and the Detroit Lions are top three versus fantasy running backs. Legit. They shut them down. You need to wrap your head around it, people. Like, the Lions and being known as a terrible run defense, those days are gone. They're poof. They're gone. That is a yesteryear thing. So I think if you're talking about the Carolina Panthers moving the ball, it is going to have to be with DJ Moore this week. And DJ Moore with Sam Darnold, 27% target share, 50% end zone target share. In two of the last three games, he's been wide receiver 11 and 16. So I've got DJ Moore comfortably as a wide receiver 2 this week. I think that he could smash, and versus a Detroit secondary that's given up the 11th most fantasy points per game to perimeter wide receivers.
D-Bro, in ECR, DJ Moore is wide receiver 29 and half PPR. Obviously, it's you're crazy. Higher than that. Where exactly do you have him?
I'm pulling on my ranks right now. Last time, I think the update, I had him at wide receiver 20. I have him at wide receiver 22 right now, right behind Mike Evans and Devontae Smith. So, and I could make a case to push him a little bit higher, considering we talked about Christian Kirk dealing with some of the weather stuff. Christian Watson is dealing with the ghost of Aaron Rodgers. So you can make a good case that DJ Moore should be a strong wide receiver 2 with, honestly, wide receiver 1 upside this week.
Of course, anybody who drafted DJ Moore, where they would have had to have drafted him, maybe not alive in the playoffs anymore.
No, so they're probably sitting at home saying, where was this all year?
Yeah. If you had enough other good picks, then take that advice, but otherwise might not matter. Let's move to Bills at Bears. Welsh, I'll start with you again.
All right, so this is one of those games. I know we can talk about weather and D-Bro can fade and we can all talk about it, but this is one of those games. It is projected to have 5 degrees, cloudy, and 22 mile an hour winds. So let's not pretend like that's not going to be something. What does that mean? That means we can look to the ground a little bit more. So I'm going to go over to the Bears side. And I'm not going to take, this is another one of those where I'm not going to take the Bears versus Buffalo's defense. It's in consideration, of course, but both these teams are just going to have to run. Also, what passing game do the Bears have? But here is my concern, and this is the versus. This is Dave Montgomery versus Khalil Herbert. I think this is something we need to think about. Dave Montgomery ranked 32nd at running back weeks 1 through 10. Montgomery ranked 11th at running back weeks 11 through 15 without Herbert. With Khalil Herbert in the lineup, Dave Montgomery averaged under 50 yards, 48, just under 13 carries, under 4 yards per carry, not even a touchdown, 0.2. Without Khalil Herbert, he was at 14 carries a game, 65 yards, almost 5 yards per carry, and almost a touchdown. Plus, his receiving yards were up. He was just under 100 total yard player with Herbert not there. But with Herbert there, it's not a slam dunk. The Bills team giving up 88 yards to running backs and ranking 11th in least fantasy points given up to running backs. So it's a good run defense. This is critical not only for the team, but for fantasy owners in how you are going to be approaching David Montgomery this week.
Yeah, just like if you had to put a number to it, like a percentage, how much workload do you think we're going to see Khalil Herbert get in his return?
I mean, that's the big key. I would, in a normal sense, you know, one of the things that happened every time I'd watch the Bears, and I talked about this all season, was like, you would see like Montgomery run, blah, blah, blah. You turn your head, you come back, you'd see a guy run. You're like, whoa, look at that run. That was explosive. You're like, oh, it's Khalil Herbert every single time. So like, I think Herbert is the better back. Coming back from injury, I would expect he's coming back because he's ready to have a full workload. And I expect them to need to be on the ground more than ever before. So, I think he's going to be at full go of what we saw before. I think he's a double-digit touch guy. I think he takes away from David Montgomery. And listen, I don't want to bench the great players, but you know, when Herbert was out there, Montgomery was not a top 30 running back in half PPR for 10 straight weeks. Obviously, the offense has adjusted a little bit. They could both be worthwhile. I'm not saying to necessarily bench David Montgomery, but I think the upside is taken off when Herbert is around. And this is going to be a battle between how many carries versus this weather are the Bears going to be able to muster and who does it go to. So I think it's a key matchup to watch. I think Montgomery is a little bit dicey. And if you get any other positive words out of Herbert, he might be a flex option this week to throw out.
Debra, talk to me about the running game on the other side of this.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been on this podcast numerous weeks and not shed a lot of love for Devin Singletary, but considering the Chicago Bears run defense, I'm in on Singletary this week. I think that you can comfortably start him as an RB2 this week, and I say that knowing that, yes, Nyheim Hines got into the mix. Yes, James Cook got into the mix this last week, but you're still looking at usage rates. And since week 11, Devin Singletary still owns this backfield. He's played 60% of the snaps in 3 of the last 5 games. He's averaging almost 15 touches and almost 70 total yards per game. And now you marry that with a Chicago run defense that since week 10, 20th in rushing success rate allowed, 26th in explosive run rate allowed. Why the Eagles decided not to run and lean on Miles Sanders last week versus this run defense, I do not understand. But with a banged up and less than 100% Josh Allen, I do not expect the Buffalo Bills to make that same mistake.
How deep of a league would you need to be in to consider starting James Cook?
I mean, I think James Cook, look, we've seen the explosiveness. I think that he could do a lot with only minimal touches. James Cook, like, I got to pull up my ranks. Like, I think that he is a viable RB3 considering the matchup. He doesn't need a lot of work to pop off.
Who would you rather start, James Cook or Khalil Herbert?
Ooh, that's a good answer. Well, that's a good question. I would actually go with James Cook, and I think it's a good just because of the matchup. I think that Khalil Herbert, we can lean on the volume and say he's probably a good bet. 8 to 12 touches in the game, but we could see the same out of James Cook. And if we're going to say, okay, who's the better offense? Who's the better matchup? With Josh Allen being a little more banged up, is he going to sit there and get the goal line totes? Okay, well, maybe that goes to James Cook. So I'll lean Cook with that one.
It was a good question. It was also a good answer. I'll give you credit for that one, D-Bro. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a second to talk about BetMGM. Celebrate the new year at BetMGM. Sign up using bonus code FANTASYPROS and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM offers parlay specials and boosted odds every day. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code FANTASYPROS and place your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Now you're winning with the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Arizona, Colorado, Washington, D.C., Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Kansas, Washington, D.C., Louisiana, Nevada, Wyoming, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, Maryland, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369 in New York. Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789. Call 1-888-777-9696 in Mississippi or 1-800-547-6133 in Washington. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Promotional offers not available in Nevada and New York. Risk-free offers not valid in Ohio. Let's move to the next game, Saints at Browns. I'll start with you, D-Bro.
This comes down to Cleveland needs to run the ball, and golly, I sound like a run savant, a run stand. I sound like Troy Aikman here, like, team's gonna run the ball every single game. Like, I'm not trying to tell you this in every single matchup, but if we look at how bad the Browns have been since Deshaun Watson has come back, their passing game has struggled. And this all comes back to Watson, who is playing terrible. He's playing really bad football. And a lot of this comes from rust, not having the rapport with his wide receivers. And if you look at the New Orleans run defense since week 10, they are 26th in rushing success rate. They are 28th in EPA per rush. This is not the vaunted Saints run defense elite of old. This is a bad run defense. So if Cleveland is smart in this game, they say, look, we paid you a lot of money, Deshaun Watson, and, you know, passing the ball was good. It's great. It's grand. But we've kind of sucked at that. So we're going to lean on our running backs. We're going to sit here and try to eke out a win against another team on the other side. That can they put up 15? Can they put up 20 points? So I think that Cleveland needs to run the ball, and I think you're going to see a lot of that this week.
Well, shoot, what are you looking at in this one?
Well, I'm going to raise you a New Orleans rush defense to a Cleveland rush defense, which is worse. It's so much worse. And so much so that they are giving up the third most fantasy points to running backs this year. And they're going up against Alvin Kamara, who has not been great. That Cleveland defense, by the way, 120 yards, 5.4 yards per carry, which is the second most in the NFL. And they're averaging giving up a full touchdown per game. Not to sound like a broken record, but weather, this is the worst of all of them. 7 degrees, looks like some flutters, and 27 mile an hour is currently as we're doing this show projected. So you want to talk about moving away from a passing game, this is that one. I hate to do this too, just throwing it out, Taysom Hill might be kind of sneaky this week if they want him.
You made me do it. I was going to bring up Taysom too. I like Taysom a lot this week.
Might be extra sneaky this week when you want to get the ball in the hands of a quarterback that needs to move around. He's extra sneaky. But this is about Alvin Kamara for me as well, because he has not done what we've need him to do. Alvin Kamara has not scored a touchdown in 6 straight weeks. You want to hear something even crazier? He has only scored a touchdown in one game this entire year. He scored all three of them in one stupid game. He has also only crossed 100-yard marker rushing once this year and had 20 carries twice. He is currently ranked 12th on the ECR. We've been waiting for the week. You know that week? The week that he had, the only one he had where he had three touchdowns? This is the one. This is the one here where you go all in, because it is a horrible, horrible run defense. This is a team that is going to run Kamara and Taysom Hill down their throats, and there is bad, bad weather. So give me Kamara and give me a little Taysom Hill on that action. I know, Debo, you agree.
Yeah, I love the Taysom Hill call. I've not been a Taysom stan all year as far as tight end rankings, but I've got him and Juwan Johnson snugged up right next to each other inside of my top six.
Okay, I was going to ask D-Ro, so he's currently tight end 12 in ECR in half PPR. So that's, you think that's too low?
No, it's way too low. I mean, I think that you need to have him comfortably inside the top 10. I'm being aggressive in the ranking, and some of this comes down to just the poo-poo platter that is tight end position right now. Like, you can, and you're looking at the upside, like, do you want to play Taysom or Mark Andrews? Do you want to play Taysom or Darren Waller, George Kittle? All of these guys that are either in terrible match, David Njoku, versus the no-fly zone that is the Saints' defense. Like, I would take Taysom Hill over a lot of these different guys. Like, I think you could play Taysom Hill over Mark Andrews, and that sounds insane, but as bad as Tyler Huntley has been, And as much as the Saints are probably going to run the ball in this game, if Taysom Hill gets any kind of passing attempts on top of that, catches any balls, like, this could be a massive Taysom day.
I hate to do it. I hate to sign off on that too, but like, I think you could see 10 carries in that range for Taysom Hill. Yep. And Mark Andrews has just been atrocious with Huntley. So I don't think it's a wild take to go in on that because they're not going to throw the ball. Taysom is built for this type of game of what if the Saints are going to move the ball. He's the guy. Why not just run RPOs the entire game with Taysom Hill and Alvin yep. Kamara and just let one of those two break each side? That's how I would play it. So both good plays.
Well, she talked to me about Seahawks at Chiefs.
All right. I don't know how everybody else feels about this. He's right outside the RB1 territory. But to me, Jerick McKinnon is a firm RB1 this week without Preach. Question. There is some weather, a little bit. It's going to be cold. It's going to be under 10 degrees. There's some, you know, multiple mile an hour winds, 13 mile an hour winds, if you want to consider it. But Jerick McKinnon has been the number one scoring running back over the last 2 weeks. He scored almost 30 points a game in half PPR. Last week had 62% of Kansas City's available offensive snaps, which part of the reason no blocking from Pacheco and the fumble, which was a huge, huge key. Seattle's giving up the fifth most receiving yards to running backs on the year and the second most fantasy points to RBs overall, with over 120 yards rushing and a touchdown. In the last three games, McKinnon has averaged 5.2 yards per rush, 17 passes, and had over 300 total scrimmage yards and five touchdowns. Jerick McKinnon is in an incredible matchup. They're going to want to play a short game. He's catching all the balls, and Pacheco is losing a little bit of trust. It's a match made in heaven. Jerick McKinnon is a must start this week and a firm RB1.
Debro, what's your matchup here?
I love that take. I want to marry that take. I want to settle down with that take. I want to build a house. I want to live in that take forever.
My babies
I
with love, that take.
Love that take. We talked about on the Start Sit show, which is already out. And I said Jerick McKinnon is a slam dunk must play RB1. So love that from Welsh. On the other side of the ball with Seattle, I think that with Tyler Lockett being out, it is going to be one heaping amount of targets for DK Metcalf. He has been their end zone guy, 48% end zone target share all year long. Chef Geno is going to cook versus his secondary. You're looking at Metcalf. He is 15th in open rate amongst 81 qualified wide receivers. This also ekes down to Marquise Goodwin, who is going to be in the starting lineup this week, running opposite of Metcalf. And you're looking at a Kansas City secondary that has been bleeding out points to opposing wide receivers since week 10. They're 24th in fantasy points per game allowed to wide receivers, 26th in catch rate. So I think both of these guys are strong plays. DK Metcalf is going to be how they're moving the ball through the air for Seattle. And Marquise Goodwin, I keep inching him up my rankings. Like, he's probably going to be a fringe wide receiver three before it's all said and done, because we know where the ball is going to go in this passing attack. If it's not going to DK Metcalf, it's not going to all these other tertiary receivers. Kenneth Walker doesn't get a ton of targets. Noah Fant and Will Disley haven't done anything, and they're splitting routes. So if it's not Metcalf getting the targets, it's going to be Marquise Goodwin.
Debro, speaking of defenses that bleed points to wide receivers, talk to me about Giants at Vikings.
Oh, man, it's going to be a great day for the Giants passing attack. And this comes down to Daniel Jones, Darius Slayton. And if you're in deeper leagues, I like Isaiah Hodgins. And I think that the Giants are going to move the ball through the air this week. Slayton has been stepping like on the doorstep of the precipice of a monster game the entire year. What's kept him away from really capitalizing and reaching a monster ceiling is touchdowns. The guy doesn't get any red zone work. All of his touchdowns are, you know, where we see touchdown equity. He has to break off big plays, and he can do that versus this Vikings secondary. Since week 7, Darius Slayton, and I don't think that people really understand, because he hasn't had the touchdowns to really give him these massive spike weeks, and where everybody's like, oh, I love Darius in fantasy. People are not like just oohing and aahing over having to start Darius Slayton, but if you look at his volume, we're seeing the floor for him on a weekly basis since week 7. And that's kind of when he hit the starting lineup. This man is tied 20th in receiving yards with DK Metcalf. I don't think a lot of people will be out there saying like, oh yeah, he's got the same receiving production as DK Metcalf at this point. He's 11th in yak per reception, which is really important because the Vikings can't tackle at all. They've been top of the league in yak allowed all year long. So I think the Giants are going to get it done through the air. I think it's going to be Darius Slayton, and I think it's going to be Isaiah Hodgins.
Walsh, what do you have here?
You know, it's an interesting thing also that you throw in there, because if the Giants are going to be competitive in this because their defense has struggled, that means that you're going to see a Vikings team that is going to have to play more in the air like they like to do. Mm-hmm. There might be a decent matchup for Dalvin Cook, but I think this is going to be all about Kirk Cousins versus that secondary. You know, we saw a very, very slow half last week. Actually, my playoff hopes, our buddy Bogman, I had texted him because I was like, oh my God, I got Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson in the half. And I'm like, I'm going to lose. Are they going to do anything? And they went bonkers. And that's what we're looking at with Kirk Cousins. KJ Osborne had a huge step up. I'm also looking at what he's going to be able to do with TJ Hawkinson. But that Giants defense has also faltered a little bit as of recent. They were kind of in that top half as far as fantasy points given up to quarterbacks throughout the season. But over the last couple weeks since week 13, they've fallen into the bottom 10, giving up the 23rd most fantasy points. So that's inside. That gets the ninth most fantasy points given up to quarterbacks overall, around 250 yards, around two touchdowns. And that is Kirk Cousins overall in those 1 p.m. games, over 270 yards, right around two touchdowns. This is a great spot for him, but it's a huge matchup. And can he repeat what they did last week? You could also argue maybe what role KJ Osborne plays in, because people are going to be very, very tempted to put him in the lineup. I think most people have, and even Debro's face right there kind of says like, hey, you don't want to do it. But hey, listen, if the Giants are competitive and moving the ball, I'm not signing off on it. But I'm not dismissing it completely, because I think they're going to be doing a lot of their work in the air with Kirk Cousins versus that secondary.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins and 1 p.m. game is just a match made in heaven. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Auctions at pristineauction.com start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you win authentic signatures at affordable prices. And they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and so much more. Every item on Pristine Auction comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators. Upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item one when you use code FANTASY, one word. Be sure to sign up now at pristineauction.com/register, because there are deals ending every day. Again, that's code FANTASY for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia on pristineauction.com/register. Let's move to Bengals at Patriots. Welsh, I'll start with you here.
All right, Bengals and Patriots, I am looking at both of the wide receivers. I'm looking at Chasen Higgins versus New England's pass defense. Another one I'm throwing out, under 20 degrees. You got double-digit mile-an-hour winds. New England's giving up the eighth least fantasy points to wide receivers right now. The average is about 11 catches, just under 150 yards. And on average is right, like for the top three wide receivers. But you've got great ratings when you look over at PFF on the wide receiver cornerback matchups. Both of these wide receivers are locked into top 13 overall matchups versus those corners if you go and check them out. So their ability to pass versus a strong New England defense, New England's bread and butter is stopping the run. So if they're getting the ball back out, you're looking at overall health. T. Higgins has been scoring touchdowns again. Tyler Boyd doesn't exist anymore. So it's about these two thriving and not worrying about the running back. I think there's a decent consideration to having some major fading on Joe Mixon this week. And whatever they get done, though, I do think it's going to be a struggle on both sides. The matchup is going to be a bad defense that actually still works well for both of those wide receivers. So no one's going to have any hesitation on Jamar Chase. But T. Higgins is ranked very, very well on ECR this week. And I don't think you should second guess it. I think that's the thing. I think you can see where he is. I believe it's like 15 on ECR. That might throw a lot of people against a New England defense, but don't throw him back out there, because they're going to sling the ball and he can continue that touchdown run.
Very quickly, Welsh, Tyler Boyd, any interest?
Nope. Zero interest in Tyler Boyd. Doesn't exist to me. I'd rather Isaiah Hodgins sounds better to me than Tyler Boyd right now.
All right, Debra, what do you have for me?
This all comes down. I mean, the Patriots offense has been abysmal. It's been terrible. Mac Jones is playing bad football. And I don't even know if I put that all off of Mac Jones, but outside of just the play calling in New England, it has been terrible all year long. But this all comes down to Ramondre. This comes down to Ramondre Stevenson. If the Patriots are going to move the ball, we've seen he's been the most consistent playmaker in this offense. And the problem here is that the Bengals' run defense has improved. Since week 10, they're 10th in rushing success rate, 5th in rushing yards per game, and 4th in explosive run rate. So it is a bad matchup for Ramondre, but if the Patriots are going to move the ball and put up points here, he has got to overcome that, and he's got to have a big day.
I mean, RB7, is that too high, Debro?
No, I mean, you can't take him any lower than that. He's got to be an RB1. Yeah. I mean, where we want to, like, splice this and put him is, you know, that's fine. People can move him up and down, but he has to be an RB1 because he's basically their wide receiver one on top of being their RB1.
All right, last game on the early afternoon slate, Texans at Titans. Welsh, starting with you.
Is there any other running back that can be number one this week? I know this isn't like we're not breaking news here by any means, but all this is, the key matchup is Derrick Henry versus Houston. Here's the bet. Does Derrick Henry not rush for 200 yards this week? Derrick Henry, in his career, listen to this, in his career, in only 11 games versus the Texans, Derrick Henry has 202 carries, over 1,200 yards, and 11 touchdowns. He scores a game on average every single game versus the Texans. His last four games versus the Texans, he has gone over 200 yards the last four straight games, and in that time span has not averaged less than 6.6 yards per carry. 6.6 yards per carry. It's absolutely absurd numbers here. Derrick Henry versus a team as a whole on the career averages 114 yards, 18 carries, over 6 yards per carry, and a full touchdown every single game. Derrick Henry may have had some bumps in the season for you. He wins you your league this week, and anything under 150 yards is a disappointment. So, I mean, as far as you talk about key matchups, the key matchup is just Derrick Henry absolutely demolishing this team, which he has historically done four straight games of 200 yards. So let's go Derrick Henry. Guess what? You can start him.
Well, yeah. Welsh has him RB1. Debro has him RB1. Fitz, Friedman, Joey P have him RB1. Andrew Erickson has him RB2. I don't know what that guy is thinking. He is clearly out of his mind. Debra, what do you have here?
Well, I mean, actually, I haven't hit refresh on my rankings. I've dropped Derrick Henry.
Me.
I've dropped Derrick Henry to RB2.
No. Oh my God. What are you doing?
Okay. We'll get to it. But I have Christian McCaffrey as my number one running back for this week.
Oh, my gosh.
There we go. See? Welsh is going to poo-poo the take, but now he's wearing the
flag. Well, now I'm going to shut up. If you're listening on the pod, I got the Run CMC shirt. Yeah. So I'm going to shut up here, but like, still, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to fade any kind of Derrick Henry. The fact that his line needs to probably be set at like 175 rushing yards this week, and it won't be. So, I'll be comfortably taking the overs there. But on the other side of the ball, I think if they're going to keep up with the Derrick Henry show, the Houston Texans are going to have to feed the ball to Chris Moore. And we've seen him be incredibly involved the last 2 weeks. 38% target share. Dude is averaging 9.5 targets per game. He's going to run 69% of his routes against Roger McCreary and Greg Maven, who have not been good. This Tennessee secondary has not been good. Now, maybe Brandon Cooks makes a return this week. Brandon Cooks has been a ghost. Even when he has been out there, it has been Nico Collins leading the charge. So unless Nico comes back, I'm not worried about Chris Moore, because Brandon Cooks is not somebody you need to be worried about at this point in the season. Basically, the Texans, heck, Brandon Cooks himself has said, like, I don't want to be on this team. I don't want to do this. So they're not going to feed targets to him. He's not a future part of this team. So it's Chris Moore season. Let's go.
Let's move to the late afternoon slate again on Saturday. Commanders at 49ers. There's only two games in this slate. One of them looks a lot better than the other. We'll go with Commanders at 49ers. Welsh, what's the key matchup?
Well, I have to go against my team. Mr. Debro got to the list before me and took the 49ers, so I can't take my team. But I can be self-deprecating against my team. And I will tell you, a key matchup is in the wide receiver core. And I'm not going to pick the number one. I'm going to pick Jahan Dotson. Jahan Dotson is my pick here, because the 49ers secondary has been a problem. Oh, since week 13, you know, overall in the season, they're obviously number one defense in the NFL. Secondary has been susceptible. They're two safeties, Hufanga and Gibson. They love to bring in. They love to bring in even to play that linebacker role or blitz. They love to blitz Hufanga. So you've got to have great coverage on the secondary side. Ward is their shutdown corner. Lenore is not. And Dotson's going to be in that role. And since week 13, the 49ers have given up the 10th most fantasy points to wide receivers, which might surprise people. A full touchdown per game. And when I say wide receivers, it's the main three core of wide receivers, which Dotson is in this case. They're averaging over a full touchdown a game, run 180 yards across the board, and the 10th most fantasy points. And Dotson has been on a roll. as of recent. 9 catches, 15 targets over his last 2 games, 2 touchdowns. It looked like vintage early season Jahan Dotson. He is the perfect type of player that will break the 49ers. The 49ers in the middle are going to have great coverage with Fred Warner, so they're not getting beat with tight ends, especially not in Washington. And Jahan Dotson is the guy that they want to have big separation, and that's where the 49ers fall apart. When the safeties want to come inside, the corners, especially Lenore, they can't get deep coverage. They're going to get beat. They're going to get beat by Dotson. I love a deep touchdown for Dotson in this one. I think it's a key matchup. McLaurin can definitely have a good day, but Dotson, a guy I think is going to be super sneaky and is definitely a playable wide receiver 3 this week.
D-Bro, how about you?
I love that call. Jimmy Ward can't guard anybody in their secondary.
No, Lenore and Ward, no.
On the San Francisco side, I think this game is going to come down to not only Christian McCaffrey having a day, but what Brock Purdy does. Brock Purdy has gotten all this puff and praise, and Brock Purdy has not been asked to do a whole lot. He is going to be asked to do a lot this week because the Washington Commanders pass defense is not this pushover. People need to get past that. Like any kind of narratives or thoughts that you have that the Commanders are a good run or pass defense to face, it is not the case. Since week 10, they are 3rd in success rate per dropback, 2nd in EPA per dropback, and they're allowing the 2nd fewest passing yards per game. And they also will bring the pass rush. They're 7th in pressure rate. Purdy versus pressure has been bad. He's 28th in PFF pressured passing grade and 36th in pressure adjusted completion rate. So they're going to have to try to keep him clean. But I think that this is honestly a game that Washington could walk away from with a win if Purdy doesn't like implode upon himself. Then I mean, look, San Francisco is going to have a rough one in this one.
Let's move to the bigger name matchup here, although with no Jalen Hurts, maybe not as big a name matchup. Eagles at Cowboys. Welsh, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a gajillion key matchups for Dallas' side when you're looking at what they're going to need to do to succeed. But I think we've already seen what they can and do as far as the running backs go and how they can separate those guys. So I'm going to come back to CeeDee Lamb. You know, CeeDee Lamb has been the 6th highest scoring wide receiver all year. He's been the 5th if you just count up to week 10, but 13th since week 12. So he's fallen off a little bit. Philly is giving up the 10th least fantasy points to wide receivers, averaging around 125 to those top 3 wide receivers. And they're in the top 10 in least receptions given up. CeeDee has only caught 1 touchdown over the last 5 weeks. And as far as rating go, it's not in his favor. It is an average rating on the PFF wide receiver cornerback matchup. But I mean, we're talking a rating that's lower than the Titans wide receivers that are coming into. So, you know, they're going to be able to run. They're going to move the ball in short field. But how are they going to be able to get the ball to CeeDee Lamb? I think that's going to be a big key. I'm not giving you something that's like, hey, CeeDee's this. But I'm a little bit concerned about the overall usage that he's going to have in this game. But I obviously know you guys probably aren't going to have something you're going to be able to replace him with or really looking to replace him. And I haven't even looked on ECR where he's faced, but I'm a little bit worried about this. The thing that does work back in his favor that kind of counters this, CeeDee's ranked 8th, by the way, in half PPR on Fantasy Pros ECR, is that the Eagles offense is in big question right now. You know, Jalen Hurts last week had one of the most absurd things I've ever seen where he was the number 1 quarterback in fantasy for that week. And he had 0 touchdowns and 2 picks. Like, I've never seen that before. That's how this offense has been built off of. And now you put in Gardner Minshew. I'm not a big Gardner Minshew guy. I know there are some that are out there that believe he's going to be able to really, really move the ball. Maybe that's going to be the case. Maybe they're going to try to identify more of a passing game, which you can do against Dallas, which I can be in on. But if Philly struggles to move the ball and it gets back in Dallas's hands, there's only so much that's going to stop. And that's why CeeDee kind of bumps back up a little bit. But I am showing a little bit of concern overall for him.
So Welsh is not a Gardner Minshew guy. D-Bro, you want to talk about Gardner Minshew here?
I think we have buried the lead. We have not talked about it and kind of thrown enough shade on mustache Minshew mania. Okay, so I'm going to bring this back to real life and reality here. Minshew is going to have a good game. I think that he is one of the best streaming options out there this week. If you were dealing with losing Jalen Hurts, just go pick up Gardner Minshew. This is Brock Purdy, but dropped into an even better offense, better offensive line, as good of skill players. And he gets a cake matchup this week. The Dallas Cowboys secondary is decimated. Outside of Trevion Diggs, their cornerbacks have all been hurt. Anthony Brown, gone for the season. Jordan Lewis, gone for the season. Since week 14, they have fallen off the map as a pass defense. 28th in success rate per dropback. They're 24th in yards per attempt. 23rd in passing yards per game. So all Minshew has to do is play Purdy point guard and be like, pew, 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 AJ Brown, let's go. I think he's going to have a good game. And I think that he could sneak into the top 12 if everything kind of coalesces in this game.
Welsh, very quickly, did he change your mind?
I mean, I'm fine. I'm not like the most anti-Gardner Minshew guy. Here's my positive. If they start throwing the ball, I think that's good. I actually really like Devonta Smith this week. I think Devonta Smith could be in a really good spot.
It's fine. If you don't like jorts, just go ahead and admit it, man. It's
not
okay.
The biggest
this is
jorts
space.
Guy. I'm sorry. It's a West Coast thing. It's a West Coast thing.
I would say that's also an East Coast thing. I do not like jorts.
An All Coast thing.
It's an All Coast thing.
Okay. Let's go to Saturday Night Football, Raiders at Steelers. D-Bro, I'll start with you here.
All Najee Harris all the time, baby. The Raiders' run defense has been bad, and Najee has quietly picked it up. He has been running like a madman since week 10. He's 29th in yards after contact per attempt, second in missed tackles forced. This dude is also 8th in PFF elusive rating. So the Najee Harris we wanted all season, like why you spent a first-round, second-round pick on the guy, and you were like, oh, workhorse, he's going to be awesome this year. We didn't see that. Now we're seeing that down the stretch, and the Raiders' run defense, since week 10, they've been middle of the road. And if Najee gets checkdowns, which he should, they should feature him in the passing game this week against a horrific Raiders run defense. That since the entirety of the year, this isn't even since like part of the year, they have allowed the most receptions per game, the most receiving yards, and the fourth highest yards per reception to running backs. So while we have not seen any of these games where Najee Harris does his best like CMC light impression, this should be a week where the Steelers say, you know what? We're not putting a lot of points up on the board. Let's just lean on Najee Harris. Let's feed him dump offs and just let the man work.
Welsh, what are you looking at here?
Well, I'm looking at the wide receivers. Again, in the repeaty thing, you've got really bad weather. You've got some wind in there. I think the Steelers, there's obviously, you know, motivation with the Franco Harris news. But, you know, the Raiders, what they've got to do in this game is they've got to be able to pass. Pittsburgh rush defense has been pretty good. Here's another problem. Pittsburgh as a whole has been a team that you attack all year long in fantasy when wide receivers are going up against their secondary. It's been just a huge cakewalk. But since week 13 on, Pittsburgh is actually giving up the fifth least fantasy points to wide receivers currently. And you got Davante Adams in the ball, and how the ball has been spread. We're not getting the mix you want. Matt Collins is interesting. There's kind of bad weather. You know who I kind of dig? Kind of dig Darren Waller back into it. He came right back into the mix, got his action in. I know this isn't earth shattering, but there might be, you know, the tight end position as a whole has been a concern. I don't know how far and deep they're going to be able to move the ball. So I like this idea, especially with that secondary that is really honed in on wide receivers as of recent. I think this is a really good spot for Darren Waller. I'm not afraid of Davante Adams, but Darren Waller is going to be a big matchup key here for the Raiders.
Let's get into our first Sunday game, which is also our first pick in the Over-Under Challenge. The Over-Under game is sponsored by No House Advantage, who are giving away $10,000 in weekly and season-long prizes, including a grand prize of $3,000. Check them out today at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app on the app stores. Use promo code PROS at sign up for a first deposit match up to $50. Our first Over-Under Challenge of the day is Jaylen Waddle, over or under 12 fantasy points against the Packers. So be on the lookout for that as D-Bro shares his picks for Waddle and also for some of his other favorite over-unders from this week's challenge throughout the show. Listeners can find this at fantasypros.com/challenge. For now, we'll turn to D-Bro for his key matchup in Packers-Dolphins.
So I'm actually going to take the under for Jaylen Waddle here because I think if Dolphins won, we've seen Tua struggle in recent weeks. So I think this is going to be a big game for the Dolphins rushing attack. You've looked at, and yes, I'm not breaking any kind of new ground here. We all know that the Packers run defense is bad. But what I want to tell everybody out there is that since week 8, Raheem Mostert, and we don't know what's going to happen with Jeff Wilson. Raheem Mostert could be the bell cow again this week. Since week 8, Raheem Mostert has been one of the most elusive running backs in the NFL. This dude is 5th in yards after contact per attempt. He's 14th in runs of 10 or more yards. So while I think it's the under for Waddle, I will be chasing Mostert production. I think that you can roll him in as a strong RB2 if Jeff Wilson is out this week.
Welsh, what are you looking at here?
One funny thing to look at too, Green Bay, since week 13, they've given up the least fantasy points to wide receivers. So they've kind of honed in on that when you're focusing on that run game. I'm going to be looking at Christian Watson and his usage versus Miami secondary. This is crazy to think, but Watson has not had more than four catches in a single game this entire year. Also, Aaron Rodgers, I never would have thought I'd say this, has not had a 300-yard passing game this entire season. Miami's about middle of the pack as far as fantasy points given up, but Watson is given a below average PFF rating as far as wide receiver cornerback matchups go. There's a lot of points to be had. 28 points per game given up by Green Bay are scored over the last three games, and Miami is around 21. So there's a lot of points to be scored. There's a lot of offense to be had. Christian Watson faltered last week. I'm a little bit worried that we've never seen that usage go up, but this might be the first week that they just absolutely slang the ball. And Christian Watson, even though there's a lot of fear, I'd throw him back out there and not worry too much so he can be the top guy.
Watson is wide receiver 19 right now in ECR. Welsh, is that too high, too low, or just right?
I think, as I say that, I think it's a little too high. I think jumping in top 20 is a little rough, but this is a game where I think Aaron Rodgers, as far as like where you would rank him this week and want to play him, he boosts up. I mean, he's back in. He has not been a QB1 more than he has been this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has not been in that QB1 range. He's there this week. This is a place that you can do it, because their defense, if it gets beat up and they in Miami scores, Green Bay can come back with it. We've seen Miami give up some serious points here. So it's a little high, but I'd probably put, I hate to cop, but I think him and Lazard are probably both in that like mid 20 range.
Let's get to the ugliest primetime game of the season. Broncos at Rams. This is the Nickelodeon game. This is the go spend time with your family on Christmas Day game. Just a hideous matchup. D-Bro, I'll start with you here.
Ugh, woof. I think this could be a big Jerry Jeudy game. I was expecting the Packers to just light this Rams secondary up last week. It did not happen. I think Jerry Jeudy can do that. You look over his last four games where he's played 74% or higher of the snaps. Dude's been on fire. Wide receiver 16, 13, 1, and 24. Yes, even if Cortland Sutton comes back, I think Jeudy can have himself a day, because he's been extremely good against zone coverage, and that's been what it's been the Rams' bread and butter. 59 to 63% of their snaps in coverage this year. Since week 12, Ramsey and Troy Hill have been in zone. And since week 7, Jerry Jeudy, 62% of his targets versus zone. He is 13th in yards per route run against zone coverage. So while it's gross, I have Jerry Jeudy ranked inside my top 24 wide receivers for the week.
Welsh, how about you?
There's this really smart guy that I follow online, and he had this really interesting tweet, and he tweeted about Cam Akers, this smart guy. And the smart guy said, since week 11 with minimum 20 carries, he's ranked 22nd yards after contact per attempt, missed tackles. He's fifth, just ahead of Nick Chubb, and the seventh best PFF elusive rating. Do you know this? The smart guy's D-Bro. It's actually just the smart guy's D-Bro that I think that's got to target the big matchup here. Denver's rush defense is tougher. They average under a yard, 100 yards given up per game. But the Rams have nothing else. Cam Akers has started to get the usage, and there's going to be a real legitimate opportunity for everybody to take a look at, like, hey, do I need to start this guy? Listen, he has been better. This offense has nothing else. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. Whatever the over is, I'm taking the under on this. But I do think Cam Akers is going to get the usage, and he has been better than perceived as of recent. So flex option, probably in that range, probably a flex this week that you can get with Cam Akers.
D-Bro, I don't want to let that go to your head, so we're going to move on to the next game here. Bucks at Cardinals, Sunday night football. And D-Bro, I will start with you. What are you looking at in this one?
You don't want me to talk about how I was going to take the over for Cam Akers on No House Advantage? I mean,
please. I would prefer if you did that.
I'll chase that over, considering it's just 8 points. All you're making the bet is that he gets 30 yards and he scores. I think that's definitely in the range of possibilities. But moving over to Bucks and Cards, this all comes down to, what does Tom Brady do versus the blitz? You have an Arizona defense that's third in blitz rate. And Brady, while he's been better over the last few weeks, he is still second in interceptions since week 10 and fourth in turnover worthy play rate. Now, you add in the fact that the Cards are going to blitz him religiously, and the fact that Brady is 19th in PFF passing grade versus the blitz, he's 22nd in adjusted completion rate. This all leads me to take the under for a no house advantage over under challenge on Brady, where he's sitting at 18 points. I'm not feeling it. I'm gonna go with the under.
Well, let's move to your key matchup.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals have a lot of key matchups because Trace McSorley is their quarterback, and that is a major concern. I think DeAndre Hopkins and the rest of the receiving core is something you can stare at and look and have in question. But my key matchup is going to be James Conner, because James Conner over the last 2 weeks has been the fourth highest scoring running back in half PPR. He's got five straight games with a touchdown. He's going up against the Tampa Bay defense, which is fifth best in fantasy points given up to running backs. And they also give up the least amount of receiving yards to any running back in the NFL right now, which I think is an overall concern. But McSorley, they might be able to run a little bit more RPO. This should be heavy James Conner. They can't as far as the defense goes, they're going to stop receiving running backs, which they don't really utilize anyways. If the Cardinals get in the red zone, it will be all James Conner. But I'm worried about the overall offense in general. It doesn't even matter if I'm saying James Conner. Like, I like James Conner. You start him this week, he's a RB1, but I'm worried about how they're going to move the ball. But the effectiveness of the offense is going to be centered around what James Conner can do versus this Tampa Bay offense. And if Tampa Bay takes advantage of Arizona and gets up, it's going to be even worse. So there's a little bit of diciness here and there, but McSorley has me worried.
Last game on the slate, Monday Night Football, Chargers at Colts. Welsh, I'll start with you.
Austin Eckler, baby. Since week 10 on, the Colts are giving up the second most fantasy points to running backs overall, 114 yards. They're giving up over 40 yards receiving. It is bad news. The number one is Seattle during that time period, but it's over 28 points and half PPR. Again, this isn't a groundbreaking one, but this is similar to the Derrick Henry one, where this is just a fantastic matchup for Austin Eckler to prominently have himself be in the top three or four of overall running backs this week. So there isn't some, again, groundbreaking thing I'm telling you of who you're going to start. I love Keenan Allen in the matchup. Mike Williams is okay, but this is an Austin Eckler game, and this is going to be a key matchup for the Chargers being able to move on. And I see big, big breakout, big week for Austin Eckler, which should make some fantasy people very, very happy.
DeBro, I think one of the biggest questions of the entire week is what the Colts running game is going to look like. We obviously saw a ton of usage for Zach Moss when he came in, you know, in replacement of the injured Jonathan Taylor. Now, I know Taylor's out going in here. Deion Jackson had a lot of hype earlier in the season. What do you make of this running game?
I think it's going to be a lot of Zach Moss, and people are going to sit here, and the immediate thing that I've heard from everybody about that is, well, the Colts were up. I mean, they, you know, they just want to salt away the clock. You're going against the Chargers passing attack on an offense that's going to put up points. Do you think that the Colts are not going to try to run out of the clock this week? I mean, they do not want the Chargers offense on the field. So it's going to be a lot more volume for Zach Moss. And we know that you can run on the Chargers. They've been a bottom five run defense the entire season. So I've heard people talk about, oh, well, Jordan Wilkins could fight. Jordan Wilkins has not done anything the entire season. They have not had him active. You're telling me he's going to come off the practice squad this week and he's going to lead them in running back carries? No! Zach Moss is probably going to get 20-plus opportunities in this matchup against a terrible run defense. Yes, the Chargers probably know that the Colts are going to run the ball. Jeff Saturday does not care, and they can't stop it anyway. So Zach Moss is a strong RB3, and I think that you could even throw Deion Jackson in the RB3 mix. And regardless of whichever one of these guys gets in the end zone is probably going to end up as an RB2, but I think the Colts running the ball this week is what's going to at least give them somewhat of a chance.
Guys, let's open up the mailbag here to end the show. It's a good time to remind the listeners, if they want even more access to our analysts, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
We are up against it on time, but we're in the fantasy playoffs, so I want to get to some of these questions. These are just all pure starter sit. No explanation. Just give me a quick rapid fire who you're taking in all of these. We got a handful of them. No explanation, no details, just your picks. Titans defense or Bucks defense, DeBro?
Bucks.
Welsh?
Easy Bucks.
Devontae Smith or Jahan Dotson?
I'm going Slim Reaper.
I'm going to go Slim Reaper too, but you guys know I like Dotson this week.
I like
Jeff
Dotson
Wilson
too.
Or Deion Jackson in the flex, DeBro?
Deion Jackson. I don't even know if El Jefe plays.
Yeah, doesn't matter to me. I'm actually Deion Jackson a little bit more than Moss this week, so Jackson.
Zach Moss, Michael Pittman, or Isaiah Pacheco in PPR? Debro?
I'm going to go Pacheco. The matchup is fantastic.
Welsh. I'll go Pittman.
DK Metcalf or Ezekiel Elliott?
DK Metcalf.
Also Metcalf.
Adam Thielen or Brandon Ayuk?
Thielen.
Ayuk.
Let's wrap it up there, fellas. Thank you both for another awesome episode. Everybody listening, please remember the opportunities we mentioned with BetMGM and Pristine Auction. And also remember to check out our Betting Pros podcast as well. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Welsh and Debro, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.